Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a child, I happened to sing in a Twin Cities girls choir with Pastor Dixon's sister, actually, who's not here today. But I still remember at the tryout, at the audition, my dad accompanied me there and he told the piano player to say, "She will sing Beautiful Savior." And I didn't totally understand why, but my dad was a St. Olaf College graduate, and this is considered the signature song for the St. Olaf Choir. Last night, I did a wedding here for two St. Olaf grads. They came down the aisle, and after, you know, they met each other, they were standing, and the whole congregation stood, full as it is today, and sang all four verses in four-part harmony of this great song, Beautiful Savior. It is well known at St. Olaf circles, in St. Olaf circles, but it's well known beyond that too. But I learned, actually I knew this, Beautiful Savior became the signature piece for St. Olaf because in 1919, when F. Melius Christensen founded the St. Olaf Choir, he made a version of it, a setting of it, which is used still today to close every single St. Olaf Choir concert, wherever it is, whenever it is, and you will hear it, and it kind of sends ripples down your spine, right? But those of us who aren't Olies sometimes feel like they have a corner on the market, and I want you to know they don't. Because this is a song that I as a Gustie, heard sung at the Gustavus Christmas program last year after the last service. Someone talked to me about the Concordia Christmas program. It's sung in all sorts of countries, all sorts of denominations. We don't know the origins, but it has been elevated to this place of pure delight in people's hearts and minds because it is the core of our Christian faith. We talk about Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God, Son of man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, my joy, my crown. It proclaims what our minds can't grasp, but our souls know deeply. Pastor McLean just read a scripture that kind of gets at that. He says from the book of Hebrews about Jesus, he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. Jesus existed in the heavens, then swooped down to be with us, and then went back to heaven when he ascended after rising from the dead. Why? Because, as verse 1 of the Hebrews text says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But God's children have always had a hard time listening, back when the prophets were speaking and even today. So God sent his Son to speak to us, not in the same way as the prophets, but as one of us. There's a famous parable told by Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard, who talks about a king who loved one of his beautiful servants, and while he wanted to tell her about his love, he wished to do so in a way that would let her freely love him. So the king traded in his royal robes for peasant's clothing and moved into a village near his servant. There the king courted her so that they gradually got to know each other. Eventually the servant girl fell in love with him, and she assumed he was a peasant just like her. At that point, the king had to tell her just who he was, but because she knew him so well, she could hear him by speaking in ways that she would not have. She could hear him because he spoke her language, basically. God reveals God's self to us every day. We're just not always open-eyed or open-eared to notice. In C.S. Lewis's book, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, from the Narnia series, he has one little scene that I find really compelling to describe Jesus in our world. There's a man named a little boy named Eustace, and then there's a mysterious old man named Ramandu, and he discovers the surprising fact, this little boy discovers that the old man is actually a retired star, living on an island in the east of the Narnian world after a lifetime of shining his light in the sky. Eustace, this boy, says, in our world, a star is just a huge ball of flaming gas. And the old man says, yes, but even in your world, that is not what a star is. but only what it is made of. It's a great distinction, one that we sometimes miss today in our lives as well. We just see what is in front of us, or we see what things are made of, but not what they do, not what their purpose is in life. Beautiful Savior gets at both who God is and who we are, at what God does and what we do in response. Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God, Son of man, lived and died and rose again to save us. Jesus came to reveal that there's power beyond ourselves. We are here to be recipients, to love, to listen, and to serve. Which brings me full circle to the place I began. With the rich history and pride that the St. Olaf Choir has with this cherished hymn, Beautiful Savior, it would be easy to get a big head. I used to be a pastor in Northfield, and I know tons of St. Olaf folks and tons of St. Olaf Choir folks, and they do not have big heads. Well, maybe some do. I didn't say that. That just came out of my mouth. That's not even good. Okay. Anyway, the first day at my last parish, my dad was in the St. Olaf Choir, okay? So I will give you credit. Like, I don't want to say bad things about anybody like that. The first day I arrived at my last parish, the highly esteemed St. Olaf baseball coach, Jim Dimmitt, came to my office to greet me. And he gave me something that still hangs in my office today. It was something that his daughter, Frankie Dimmitt, who happens to be married to Renee Claussen, who was the retired choir director for the Concordia College Choir. She had led devotions for the St. Olaf Choir when she was a student at St. Olaf. And in her devotion, she shared, the St. Olaf Choir is known throughout the world for its music, and that is true, for its singing. We've been told that. And it's easy to hear things like this and let them go to your head. But when that happens, we've lost our way. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to sing for the glory of God, and that is what Beautiful Savior is all about. She then closed the devotion with these lovely words that, as I said, were handed to me on my first day of work in Northfield, and they hang on my bulletin board today as a reminder of our call in this world, as a response to Jesus' great love. They say, he came singing love, he lived singing love, he died singing love, he rose in silence. If the song is to continue, we must do the singing. Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, my joy, my crown. If this song is to continue, we must do the singing. Thanks be to God. Amen.